That is the latest from Nocuous. That was NVIDIA off their album Silesia. And you can see those guys, as we said, at Ralph's next Saturday the 13th. They'll be playing along with Swarm of Eyes, Rival Cinema, and Miley Cyborg. Before that was new stuff from the band Chuggernaut. That was Control Burn off their upcoming, yet to be titled as far as I can tell, release. And we kicked that set off with Angst. That was the Metal History Black Metal Song of the Week. Since it's the fourth metal song, black metal song we played this morning. But anyway, that was Urban Tomb off of the Furnace EP. And now, second hour, Riddle Brunch here, WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. If you have any input or questions or requests, number here is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. And now it's time for...
All men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true.
Can't find this anymore. Can't find this theme anymore, right?
Yep.
You can only find it here now. You gotta listen to the radio. So good.
And they spell disaster. For you.
The Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week.
Here we go.
So were you aware of what song that was based off of when you found it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Other than the BDK theme.
So yeah, I knew it was. That is the theme of the BDK, Bruderschaft der Cruises, whatever, in Chikara.
Not the, not the Beatdown Clan. Right.
But yeah, you can't find that theme in any videos on YouTube now because it was taken down. I don't know if it was by Rammstein or the label or someone else.
Rammstein. This week's Wrestler of the Week is...
It's based on a Rammstein song.
One of my favorite wrestlers of the last like couple years is John Silver. Raw Dog John Silver, Raw Power John Silver, Big John Silver, or Thick John Silver, as he is now with the Thick Boys.
You could also expose the business.
I'm not going to expose the business. All right. John Silver, born June 4th, 1990, a professional wrestler from New York, trained by Mikey Whipwreck.
I'll just say he was good friends with Jigsaw.
he might have wrestled sometime in Chikara and sometime in the past, but I don't know that for sure. Been in a couple tag teams, the Beaver Boys with Alex Reynolds, the Lone Rangers with Pat Buck, and the Slop Hunters with Alex Reynolds. I was introduced to John Silver through Beyond, but he's done a lot of wrestling in CZW and other New York promotions. He won the PWS tag team titles with Pat Buck, the New York Wrestling Championship heavyweight title in a five-way match, the CZW tag team titles, and the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla tag team titles with Alex Reynolds and some of his career highlights. Two signature moves, like an inverted backbreaker and the Batista bomb, which he calls the Raw Power.
Because he's been calling out Batista for months now.
He's been trying to get into a feud with Batista. I saw John Silver first in Beyond. Just like a great guy, because like, what's interesting about him is that he's 5'7". I think you can't get around saying that, like, he's a short guy, even for indie wrestling. But even with that, he's not there to do flips and cartwheels and like lean back or anything. He's there to like power bomb you and like put you in
gorilla
press you, and can do it. It's not like. He there's a video I was sending Matt last night of him gorilla pressing. Gorilla pressing, for those of you listening, is like the Ultimate Warrior. You take someone and you push them over your head like you're doing the
overhead press, the military
touchdown.
Press.
You're doing the touchdown symbol. You're military pressing someone over your head.
And then you throw them down.
And then you throw them on the floor and then you do big muscle pose offs. But like I saw doing some research for this last night, you know, him versus Brian Cage, who is a freakish monster, and the match starts out because he's also good at comedy. Like, on top of being like billed as a monster, like, he also does like really, he's just a funny character in ring, I guess I would say. And they're doing a pose down with Brian Cage, who's like a foot taller than him, and then again, just like ragdolled him out of the ring, like bonkers. Had a match with Donovan Dijak in Beyond as well. Dijak's like hugely tall, like he's like 6'5".
Yeah, he got signed by WWE. Tells you how big he is.
Yeah, he's tall enough to get signed by WWE. And same thing, like Silver just picking him up and throwing him all over the place. So obviously appeals to me as one of my favorite wrestlers as a child was Taz. It was the same kind of thing, right? Where he was like a short guy, but they never build him as like a flippy high flyer or like, oh, he's got to use his quickness to get around, you know, so-and-so stuff. And it's like, no, you have to get around how strong Taz is. So that's why this week is John Silver is a wrestler of the week. It's pretty short. I mean, he's only been wrestling since 2007. I think he's been moving up in the world of the indies with some really good stuff in CZW, as I said before, which I don't really watch a lot. It's funny because with CZW, a promotion I'll watch occasionally, like free matches on YouTube, but it's only the deathmatch stuff. But you forget, like, they have a lot of, like, non-guys hitting each other with light tube matches and a lot of, like, comedy stuff. So he did a lot of comedy stuff with Team Tremendous where they kidnapped Dick Justice and him and Alex Reynolds had Dick Justice tied up when we were force-feeding him salad, which was very funny, which is all...
Dick Justice is a very large man.
Yeah, a very large man, and he hates vegetables. That was, like, the thing that was, like, they were talking about. It's like, he was, like... Not that he didn't like vegetables, but they were, like, his kryptonite of some kind. They were making him weak when he ate vegetables. So, John Silver, Wrestle of the Week, short guy hero, obviously. Thank you.
Adam DeList, thank you. And now we'll segue into general sports. The only sports report that matters.
The Bruins are on fire. The Bruins are absolutely on fire. They can't stop losing. I feel like they'll never lose again. They can't stop winning and they'll never lose again.
Yeah, they won by a little bit last night again.
Yeah, big win.
They won a lot to a little.
7-1 against the Hurricanes.
Gross. I have another friend that thinks he finds great joy in the fact that on my fantasy hockey team I have Bergeron and Marchand, so when they do well, I can't really complain.
Hey.
I hate them both. Anyway, Tampa Bay Lightning, opposite end of that, they lost 6-3 last night to Ottawa Senators, but they are still the best team in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Number one seed in all of the NHL. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy, Isaiah Thomas, and your boy, Paul Pierce, are now in a feud. Did you follow this story?
I heard they did Isaiah Thomas. Well, here's a funny aside.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas obviously traded to the Cavaliers. Like, I think sports are very funny because I think earlier this week we had the thing with Tom Brady. Where they're like, Alex Guerrero and Tom Brady, and Brady had went to Kraft to ask them to trade Garoppolo, and then they're like, ooh, is there a rift between Belichick and Brady? And, like, I like sports. I watch sports. But I think what's funny about a lot of sports fandom is, like, the fans view their sport as, like, extremely, like, their fandom is extremely masculine, and it's, like, black and white and raw and stuff, but then they're like very, very upset if their athletes aren't best friends. I think that's very weird. Like, oh, they're not friends? With Isaiah Thomas, I don't really like the NBA that much, but he had a really gritty performance in last year's playoffs where, like, you know, his teeth knocked out of his head, his sister died, and he played through the playoffs, like, put up numbers, is a good basketball player, you know. And then they traded him to the Cavaliers because we got a better basketball player, you know. Like, that's life. That's the raw dog. Speaking of raw dog, that's the raw, like, black and white, like, numbers game, right, of sport, professional sports played for millions and millions of dollars. And so, but for whatever reason, they're like, oh, when the Cavs are in town, they're like, well, we're going to do this big Isaiah Thomas, like, media package to, like, thank him?
Like, well, that's the thing now that he has to do because in the world of free agency, so somebody leaves a team or gets traded or whatever, then you do a nice video package and they get standing ovation the first game back. But here's the thing about Isaiah Thomas.
But it's that, like, fake emotional thing. Oh, I want all the players to be friends. Like, I want the players to be friends with the management. Like, who cares?
No, fans don't really care about that. Like, fans are over IT. They're all about Kyrie Irving now. But
well, he's better. He's better at basketball.
Yeah, I mean, the ratings are up. Like, everything is better. But so the thing with Isaiah was that he got injured. So he didn't really play against the Cavs last year in the playoffs. He gets a surgery. He comes back. His big everyone's all amped up because he's gonna come back. He's gonna first game back. Gonna be Celtics national television. They're gonna do this package. That he's gonna be all fired up. And then he's like, you know what? No, I'm going to come back against the Portland Trailblazers the night before and then not play against the Celtics. So because of that, so he's like, can you do my video package later? Can you do my welcome back later when my family's here, when I'm playing? And so the Celtics said yes, which is ridiculous. So anyway, they have the game. The next time the Cavaliers play the Celtics in Boston is on Paul Pierce night when they retire his number. So Paul Pierce is like, wait a minute now. We're not going to do an Isaiah tribute on my night.
I agree with
that. So it's hilarious.
Paul Pierce, like...
a bunch of babies.
If someone deserves, like, respect from an organization, it's Paul Pierce, right? I mean, like, the guy is the Celtics, as far as I'm concerned.
He got stabbed.
He got stabbed in Club New York and he survived. Not Club New York. What was the name of the club? I don't know. I always think of this and I never know the name of it. It was Benzino's associates who stabbed him, as I remember. Bruins are on a 3-game winning streak and the Lightning are on a 2-game losing streak. But the thing that was fun about...
what's the standings?
The Lightning have 41 wins and...
they have 60 points, right?
41 games played, 29 wins. That's not that much of a lead, man. Anyway.
Doesn't matter with the games in hand.
Isaiah Thomas...
They could split. They could go 500 the rest of the way and get 100 points. The Lightning. That's how good they are.
Yeah, I mean, not on this losing streak you guys got going on.
The coach is angry. The coach isn't going to let it happen. John Coop is yelling at everybody, calling everyone out. He says this is a team that thinks they've already made the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe.
Another hockey news. Boston Pride, another loss yesterday. Very unfortunate. It was actually a good game. They forced overtime. And then, so Brianna Lang, sister of Denna, was a start, got her first career start and was nasty. She had 38 saves, I want to say. But then, unfortunately, gave up what looked like... So, one of the things about the NWHL is that you watch the televised games. They're not really televised, but they're on the internet. But they only have, like, one static camera, like, at center ice, like, up.
It's like watching
the... So it just kind of pans back and forth. So you can't really see what happened, but it looked like, unfortunately, a very soft backhanded goal that she got 5-hold on, and they lost 3-2. But it's a very good game. Amazing first career start.
But you can't see the angle and see if she's screened or anything like that.
You couldn't really see, yeah.
It's like watching the G1 climax, like some of the bad matches in New Japan, where it's just like one camera, no commentary.
Yeah. And there is commentary, and it was actually kind of cool because the Boston commentator makes the road trip, so it's like they played Buffalo yesterday, who was purchased by the same ownership group of the Sabres a couple weeks ago.
Interesting. Big news.
But so it was like them doing most of the commentary, and then every so often the Pride commentator would jump in.
That's fun.
Also, amazingly, the Premier League does that occasionally in like the really small stadiums or some like the lower teams. Like, it'll just be, it's a really weird look. Like, yeah, like I think QPR will do that. They have a static small stadium camera. And it's like one camera. I mean, they'll switch for like Cornicus or whatever, but for the most part, it's like one kind of zoomed out camera going back and forth.
Weird. I mean, like, I don't know. This was the Premier League, right? Like, guys.
I mean, that's slightly exaggerating, but still. Okay. And we won't talk about the Premier League because Southampton now finds themselves in the relegation race.
Also, honestly,
soccer. They're going to sign Theo Walcott, bring him back home.
Who cares? I'm throwing my hands up and making motions.
They beat Fulham in the FA Cup.
Of course.
They advanced in the FA Cup.
When I was a lad and I was like, well, looking at the Fulham boys, I'm like, these guys, they'll never make it in footy.
Fulham's not even in the Premier League.
I don't even
know.
But
the FA Cup is like England-wide.
I don't know a damn thing about soccer. You might as well be talking about Quidditch over there, you dork.
Quidditch is pretty awesome.
Actually, you know what I say that all
the time?
I've never
played, but it's pretty cool.
That's my go-to insult when people start talking about soccer. And a couple, maybe last summer, obviously, because it's a negative 100 outside today, I was walking around like around near like Harvard. Harvard was playing like in one of the fields like near the river. And I was like, this is stupid. And then I watched it for like 5 minutes. I'm like, seems like fun.
Exactly.
Seems like a fun time.
Well, something that you may be interested in is that rumor has it, Vince McMahon cashed in $10 million worth of stock.
I saw that.
The XFL may be coming back with a number one rule of no standing or no sitting during the anthem. No kneeling during the anthem.
Jesus Christ. Whatever. It's going to fail again. The thing about the XFL that was bad was not like the production. It was the football was bad.
It was like, yeah, when you have a professional league and sign people who are not in college and not in the professional league, and there's no minor leagues in football.
No. There's no minor leagues in football. And like, it's such a risk. Like,
unless you're kind of like the CFL.
There's no way you're going to be like a top flight prospect from college and be like, I could go to the NFL or I could go to the XFL. Like, there's no way. You'd be bonkers. You have like you have at most, like in the NFL, unless you're like a quarterback or like a kicker. You have like what a 5-year window to make money as a professional football player. You're gonna throw a year away of that with Vince McMahon and his dumbass league. Give me a break. Like, is Trump actually involved in it? He shouldn't be, by the way. No. The president. Okay,
but he will be in attendance tomorrow night at the national championship game,
which is
Georgia versus Alabama.
Okay, he's a stable brain genius.
Well, what's his name? Who's the someone's a rapper's doing the halftime show. It's Kendrick Lamar, I want to say. Somebody, I guess, who's anti-Trump is going to be doing the halftime show.
Who's pro-Trump at this point? Like, honestly, like, who?
Three Doors Down.
Are they?
They played at the inauguration. They're very excited about it. Even that woman that, like, saying hates him now because she got screwed out of money or something.
Oh, my God. But I'm talking about he has, like, a 35% approval rating. Like, who, what do you like out of this guy?
Racist?
Even then, you're going to lose your Social Security. Like, what the hell?
They don't care as long as
racists
we get rid
don't
of,
need social security.
They don't care. They're so blinded.
I don't understand.
They think they'd have more social security if there were less Mexicans and Middle Easterners here.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
All right, so that's our sports report.
That's ending how it always goes. That's how it always goes.
We're gonna play some more black metal now.
Bring back Rod Smart.
Strap yourself in. That I think there were, I believe, five players on the XFL. I mean, the NFL. Rod Smart was one of them.
Yeah.
Cortez, the kicker, was one.
Tommy Maddox.
Tommy Maddox, yeah. The all-time
greatest
XFL
of all
time.
Player of all team.
And then there are a couple others, but I can't remember.
The things from the XFL that were actually successful were the way that it was broadcast, like the flying camera on a line,
which then became like a thing.
The NFL and like a lot of different sports like picked that up. The way they did some of the broadcast was good. It was just dumb. They had JR calling football. Just stupid.
And they had a kickoff innovation that got a player injured before there was ever a single snap.
Yeah, the no fair catches for...
Well, this was like the opening kick. Instead of opening kickoff, they threw the ball out or whatever, and two guys had to chase after it.
Yeah.
It was like a fumble recovery.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. The best part
is that they had a... They're like, no rules. It's going to be super violent. They're like, oh, crap, we need rules because
we
it's too...
rules. These guys are going to die. The one thing that I did like about the XFL was that Opie and Anthony were the the pre-game
of course
show. Speaking of racists,
gross.
I guess. I don't know.
All right, we're going to...
I'm your problematic bae.
You were all about Jimmy Norton, right? A few weeks ago, because he dated Meghan Markle.
I love Jim Norton. He went on a date with Meghan Markle. The queen or whatever.
All right. Speaking of racists over there, the English media and the British media... And
oh, they roasted her?
Roasted the royal family. One of the
who
random...
Cares? It's so stupid. I hate England.
Somebody showed up to meet her with a brooch of a racist icon.
Why?
And she's like, oh, I didn't know.
If she becomes princess, could she put them to death somehow? Could she put them in the dungeon?
Yes. I'm just going to say yes.
All right,
Tower
good.
Of London.
Yeah, hell yeah. Put them in a dungeon. I hope someone does a racist thing to her and she puts someone on a rack or something. real old timey. I'm going to break this person on the wheel.
Speaking of which, this band is from Vienna, Austria.
Okay.
Called Summoning, and they like to sing about J.R.R. Tolkien.
As we all do.
And and it's black metal-ish.
I mean, that's not surprising.
It's atmospheric black metal about hobbits.
All these things check out, man.
The band Summoning, who dropped a brand new album with Doom We Come, and this is the song with Doom I Come off that one. New one. You're listening to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live at WMFO.org. Stay tuned for some Brutal Not Brutal, and then our latest Hall of Fame entrant.
We're John and Vince from the band Cake, and we're fast losing our hearing. And music is our only livelihood, so it really leaves us in a desperate and depressing situation. If we had worn earplugs, if we had been smart, we could have averted this. But now it's pretty much over.
So wear your earplugs, please.
Be back to back by metal bands from Austria. That was Abigor, also with a new album out. That song was called All Hail Darkness and Evil, and the album is called Hohenzwang, Chronicles of Perdition. Before that was Summoning with Doom I Come off of With Doom We Come.
Great.
Out on Friday.
Fantastic.
Last Friday. And yeah, so before we get to our latest Hall of Fame entrant, it's going to be a good one. We'll review it when we get there. All right. Wrong paper. Let's do a quick, some brutal not brutal discussion. So, to start, people know of the band Mayhem and our affinity, affinity for the band Mayhem. Well, a serial killer or a website devoted to serial killers and their paraphernalia.
Gross.
Discovered or happened upon five letters written by Euronymous.
How do we know that he wrote them?
Not totally sure, but they've been authenticated as far as I know.
Interesting.
But yes, he has letters that he wrote, and there were five of them. And then they were on sale ranging from $250 to $350. Yeah. And they sold out very quickly.
Were they just like letters like, everything's pretty good, and I hope you're well, Merry Christmas?
Pretty much.
What if they were Christmas cards?
One of them had like the giant Mayhem logo at the top. It was like Mayhem letterhead.
Mayhem letterhead. Well, he ran his own business.
Yeah, that's right.
It's brutal.
It's incredibly brutal.
Euronymous is a weirdo. And
was a weirdo. Or is?
Is. Yeah, brutal.
All right. So I was already disappointed. I thought it was going to be an auction that I could get it on, but it was just a straight up sale.
Did you have to go there? Was it like a secret auction?
No, it was just, I think Metal Slug's posted link to it. It's just a website where you can buy this stuff when it comes
to the dark web. I know. Yeah, those websites are gross. Yeah, but I guess like the money's not going to the murderers, so I don't know. Whatever.
There you go.
Do your thing. Do your own thing, you know?
All right. Let's say music. So ICP, again, another band.
Yeah.
Friends of the show.
Hell yeah.
We'll be touring with Attila.
Crazy. I didn't even see this. Until I pulled up the outline, I didn't see this. I'm like, what the hell is this? Why? What are they doing?
I don't know.
Is there a crossover in that?
It's awful.
Fandom?
It probably is. Attila's terrible, though. We do not play Attila on Brew Brunch.
No, but... Yeah, but we play ICP.
We've never played like a straight song by ICP, but we would.
I would if I could.
Because ICP is entertaining. Attila's not entertaining.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, core.
Sometimes if you see like a lot of the bands that go to the gathering and you're like, ugh, gross. Like there's a lot of bands there. Like I think we went through the list last year and we're like, random. It's like Coolio. I'm like, that's weird. And then like all these kind of like grind bands. I'm like, I don't like you guys. So maybe it does fit. I don't know.
Attila's awful.
Not brutal then.
Not brutal. All right. So this is an intriguing one about how you would classify this one. But your boy, Logan Paul.
Yeah, my boy.
Went to the Suicide Forest.
Logan Paul Defense Force, activate.
Fan of Mitt Romney, Logan Paul.
Yes.
Ashley Feinberg dug up tweets from him during the 2012 presidential debate.
Weird.
In which he was cheering on Mitt Romney.
What was he, like 11? Could he vote?
Pretty much. I don't even know.
Actually, you know, that guy's probably like 30, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he went to they saw a body and they were...
Well, he's been an overall... trip through Japan where he's playing
Japan
Pokemon
like
Go around the world.
So why don't you take over the story from here?
Logan Paul is popular. Well, he used to be a popular Vine star. Now he's just a YouTube star. He has a legions of fans. They opened a pop-up store.
He was in a movie last year.
He was in a bad movie last year. He has legions of fans just from YouTube, like children, you know, 12 to 15 maybe. He opened a pop-up store in LA just to show you like their fandom, and like the line was like around the block, like around a mile long line to buy a hat that said like swag Logan Paul. Anyway, him and his like weirdo crew are in Japan and they're being very rude, I guess, not unsurprisingly, like literally just throwing Pokemon balls at just people trying to walk to work. They're in the Suicide Forest, which has a name which I never can remember. And basically, the idea being like...
Also the subject of a movie 2 years ago.
And there's a lot of movies about it. It's actually been documented. There's been news stuff over there. People kill themselves in this forest to be out of the way, basically. They're walking through the forest. He's literally wearing like a Pokemon hat, like a Pikachu hat or whatever. And his crew is there, and they're walking, and there's like a guy. He's hanging in the forest. Instead of cutting the video, they're like, oh, we just saw a body. But they say it in the same way if you were like, if me and you were walking and I was like, and I saw like a car on fire, like in an alley, I'm like, that is wild. Like, that's crazy that car is on fire over there. But it's like a human body and they didn't like see any of the humanity in him. And it was like the perfect encapsulation of the modern era because he just put it on YouTube and he was basically like and subscribe. like no, totally like.
Oh, but don't you know, he didn't do it for the clicks. Didn't you listen to his apology?
Yeah, but which he also monetized and asked you to like and subscribe at the end. I mean, it's just like the perfect encapsulation of like the insanity. Like the speed with which our civilization is headed towards an abyss is perfectly encapsulated in that video. Like, devoid of any sort of humanity. Like nothing. Anyway, it's brutal, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's obviously the fact. It's brutal as hell.
Euronymous would be a fan of that. But yeah, he would have liked and subscribed, probably.
Euronymous would have done it in a more artful way, maybe.
That's true. He would have, because he did arrange Dead's body in a certain way. So.
Yeah.
And finally, The Punisher, which we've discussed, I believe you discussed on the show.
I did, because I really like the series.
Yeah.
Italian superhero, The Punisher.
But he has a big following from the Blue Lives Matter folks.
He does.
And when he was asked about the alt-right being fans, he responded with
John Berenthal.
Yes, John Berenthal.
Not the fictional character.
This should be one of the things where they get all the actors to weigh in on it, because it's like
yeah, what
Thomas
you,
Jane
Dolph
and
Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren. Who was the guy that did
I don't
the
know.
Sequel?
That sequel's amazing, though.
Shoot. But a sequel's awful. But anyway, the Punisher says F them.
Yeah, rightfully so. It's tough because, yeah, obviously, like, I think we even talked about this when I said I like the show, is that, like, the symbol of, like, skull and, like, man with gun has become, like, essentially the calling card of, like, your weird blue.
Like, they wave his flag.
Thing. Yeah, like, it's so bizarre. Because if you watch The Punisher, much like you could watch Batman and say, like,
Ray Stevenson, by the way, was the other
Ray
actor.
Stevenson. That's a Punisher Warzone's a great movie. Much like you could watch Batman and be like, well, Batman's a hero, but also, like, Batman is the one with the problems here. Like, you can watch The Punisher and be like, yeah, Punisher's like, he's doing good because the people here are killing are bad. But, like, he's not doing good. Not a person you want to emulate necessarily. Like, if you could read that. It's not that hard to get to that reading. You don't have to be like a literary scholar to read that. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, John Berenthal's a great actor. There's a scene in the Punisher series where he talks about Big ZD at Thanksgiving. So
there you go.
10 out of 10.
So that is Brutal or Not Brutal this week. To summarize, Mayhem Letters for Sale, Brutal. ICP and Attila, Not Brutal.
Not Brutal.
Logan Paul, Brutal. The Punisher, Brutal.
Logan Paul, Brutal.
Now it is time for...
Here we go. Closing my laptop. I'm just here to listen. I think you should also say the whole list of who's in the Hall of Fame.
So yes, it is time for Brutal Brunch, Hall of Fame, another induction.
Oh yeah.
To recap the Hall of Fame so far, the first ever would be Edema with Edema.
Yep.
Then we had Metallica with Saint Anger.
Yep.
Followed by Mayhem. Yeah.
Perfect.
We then saw,
as far
the following
as I'm concerned,
week.
A perfect distillation of the taste of the show. And the taste that you people should try to emulate if you're a true fan of the genre. You should be listening to your Edema and then switch over to Mayhem, and then you got to listen to Saint Anger. And if you don't like Saint Anger, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say.
So, this week, we go to an album that is probably one of the first albums that is near and dear to our hearts.
I think so.
Released on June 5th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
The band, their debut album, Drowning Pool.
Yes.
And Sinner.
Yeah.
Known by most people for the song Bodies, which was on a list that may or may not exist of
songs banned after 9/11.
Following 9/11.
Yeah.
But
that's probably when I started to be like, this band rips. Like, when that list came out. Because I was also 15 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Important to remember.
And so, yes. Again, it came out, went platinum in 2001. It is the only album to feature the dearly departed Dave Williams.
Yep.
The original singer. Who passed away while they were touring in 2002
yep.
to support the album. And it debuted at number 14 on the Billboard 200 chart. And later they would release in 2014 something called the Unlucky 13th Anniversary Edition.
And what was the other chart listing that they had? So it was number 14 on US Billboard 200, number 70 on the UK album charts, and number 18 in New Zealand.
Interesting.
They were
number one in Vince McMahon's heart because he used it for every single pay-per-view from 2004 till 2010.
Exactly. And actually, do you know, you brought up Kevin Steen earlier.
I did.
You brought up CZW. When Kevin Steen was in CZW, he used Tear Away as one of his
entrance. Makes sense.
Yep.
Makes sense.
There were three
Kevin Steen looks like he could have been in Drowning
Pool. And so the three singles, obviously Bodies was released, which reached number 6 on the Hot Mainstream Rock charts, number 12 on the Modern Rock charts, and 19 on the Billboard, bubbling under Hot 100 singles.
I think that's interesting, with like a band with like screamed vocals made it to, you know, like I guess quasi-screamed and sung, clean and dirty, whatever, clean and rough, clean and screamed, made it to like had mainstream success. I think that was interesting for that time mm-hmm. period, because it was a really weird time in music.
It was, yes, 2000, 2001, yeah. Very interesting.
Everyone was
the glory
scared.
Days.
Everyone was angry.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so you said the WWF, mm-hmm. and it was the theme song for 2001, SummerSlam. And it was the ECW brand
That's
theme
right.
song from 2006 to early 2008.
Amazing.
And it's always been under fire because, as we said, 9/11, mm-hmm. after when Gabby Giffords was shot and the band put out a statement. But yeah, lots of incidents always been associated with, but it's about moshing.
It is about moshing. It's not about murder.
It is. It's about mosh
you
pits.
You put murder in it. You people.
And it... So yeah, Dave Williams said that CJ came up with the riff and I thought it was cool and I said let the bodies to the floor and they looked at me and said that's pretty cool.
It is.
We just built it around that hook and the rest fell in place. It's about my perspective when I look at it and see the pit. It's about forgetting everything that's happened to you that week. Leave your BS at the door and get it all out. But you have to have respect for others in the pit. If you push them down, you have to pick them up. I'm not going to get behind that violence thing. It is violent, but there's a certain amount of respect and a code.
Right, kids, Agent Orange fans, no more spin kicks in my head.
No crowd killing. And then we'll talk about the other singles real quick because we're going to play them. So Sinner, the title track.
Yeah.
Vocalist Dave Williams explained, every religion has a list. Catholics can drink and that's okay, but the Baptists say if you drink, you're going to hell. Everybody's got that list of what is going to keep you from getting to heaven, but everybody's broken at least one of those rules, no matter what religion you are. Basically, I'm just saying we're all sinners.
Tight.
And... Tear Away, on that song, Dave Williams said, everybody at one time or another in their life needs to say, forget everybody else, I need to deal with me, I need to take care of myself. And as we said already, Kevin Steen used it as his theme song. And would you like to know how the album got his name?
Yes.
In an MTV interview, he said, I got that Sinner tattooed before we named the record. We were working on the song Sinner, and our A&R guy said, that would be a good name for the record. We all just looked at each other and said, wow, okay.
Genius.
It was just a natural progression that became the whole theme of the record. There are a lot of religious issues on the record and a lot of relationship issues. It just seemed like it would fit. And obviously the opening track is Sinner. It ends with Sermon, which then has like a reverse track, a reverse lyrics in it,
ooh.
Which is the lyrics, earlier lyrics from Summon that are just reversed. And they said that... they're fans of 80s back in the day, and they're used to the whole thing where like the reverse lyrics,
yeah,
they play
panic.
It backwards and have a message, so they wanted to throw it back to that. So yeah, so we are going to play you the first three tracks, which are the singles released from the album by Drowning Pool, Bodies, and so yes, congratulations to Drowning Pool.
Congratulations. A worthy induction.
Posthumously entered and inducted into the Hall of Fame for Dave Williams.
Quite frankly, the most important music list in the United States
yes.
is the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame list.
So you'll probably see Drowning Pool at Boston Calling 2019. So you can listen to them now. Again, this is Sinner from Drowning Pool off of Sinner. Latest Chris. Inductee into the Brew Bunch Hall of Fame. We're going to play you Sinners, Bodies, and Tear Away. Enjoy.
Look at all this useless talk. Look at all this useless talk. bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
congratulations, Rowling Pool.
Congratulations.
Latest inductee into the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame. And that does it for us. You've been listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live up on WMFO.org. Stay tuned for Detox Mansion with Bob Angel next. And we're going to sign out with a... We played like Summoning, which is one they sing about hobbits and Middle Earth.
Hell
and
yeah.
Are very progressive. And now we're going to play a band from a guy who's probably extremely problematic, but that's fine. You can look them up and judge for yourself. This is the band Shining.
Your problematic band.
They released a new album called X, I assume for 10, Varg Utan Flock.
Oh, boy.
And the song's called Svart Ostopbar
Elves. Oh, no. Don't say it.
And, yeah, here we go. And Brutal sign off. See you in 2 weeks.